Power Hour Radio with your host, Dr. Joanne Conaway. And again, I just want you to know that the next hour and a half, we will be discussing issues that are for mature audiences only, probably not appropriate for young children. And I sincerely feel this way. I do not feel young children should be getting this type of education from me. I believe they should be getting this type of education from their parents. So if you have little ones running around, you might want to switch the dial and come back and listen to the archive show later on. But I am delighted to have with me Christian sex blogger, author, public speaker, Julie Seibert. And this morning, we're going to be discussing sex, sex and marriage, as we do. And we're going to actually open some doors for some people. I know that this is a topic that a lot of people are ill at ease discussing. They want to hear about it, but they don't want to discuss it themselves. So Julie and I take care of doing some of that for you. But if you have questions while we're talking, give us a call here, 855-660-4261. Again, 855-660-4261. So Julie, welcome to the show. And if you would just take a minute and kind of remind people a little bit about your background and how you became so passionate about this.
Yes, thank you again, Dr. Conaway, for having me on. And I am a speaker and a writer, and I do a lot of my writing at my website, intimacyandmarriage.com. And I've been doing that about 8 to 9 years now, and it really just came out of some sexual struggles in my first marriage, and I kind of grew to see that a lot of Christian women in particular were hungry to talk about this area of sexual intimacy. And so that's really how it started. And I have found that indeed people do want to have that dialogue, and I'm happy to participate in it.
Well, and I give you a lot of credit for that, Julie, because like I said, you know, there are a lot of people who just are ill at ease talking about this. And I read your blogs and I read the information out on your website, Intimacy and Marriage, and it's very comforting and very refreshing for me to be able to read what you say, have you put it out there, and, you know, it's just information that many people really need. Many people enjoy being able to look at the information, read the information, feel comfortable reading the information. And I just love the fact that you are so comfortable to be so open about this and just tell it like it is, and tell it like it is from a Christian perspective. This, in my opinion, is very important because you and I have talked about this before. A lot of people who have the most struggle with this topic are women who are Christian women brought up in a household where the topic of sex is taboo. We don't discuss it. We do not have open dialogue about it. And that, in my opinion, leaves people way behind the power curve as they grow into adulthood and ultimately get married and start a relationship with a significant other. They're ill prepared to do that, and do that in a very rewarding, very comfortable way. So I applaud you and give you a lot of credit for being that person that can get out there and just tell it like it is and help people to understand the importance of all of this.
Well, yeah, definitely. Thank you for that. And I have been blessed and fortunate that the more I have taken those courageous steps, and not just me, but, you know, there's a handful of us Christians who are specifically writing and speaking on sexual intimacy, and we've seen the great need out there for many of those reasons you say. Many people didn't grow up with healthy dialogue about it, and or they grew up with just incorrect or misunderstandings about what healthy intimacy is. And so then they're in a situation in marriage and they find that it's hard to navigate, or just they assumed everything would go smoothly and be easy now that they were married. And it is one of the areas where there are just so many struggles for so many couples, and often they suffer in silence instead of, because they don't really know where to turn to get solid information.
And intimacyandmarriage.com gives you solid information on a lot of different topics, and I think that's one of the reasons why I enjoy your website so much and why I've directed people to your website. It's just loaded with great information. And again, the way you write, the way you present it, it allows a person to be able to, in the privacy of their own home, sit down and comfortably read about many of these things that may in fact be affecting their marriage, may in fact make them unhappy, make them feel inadequate. I mean, there are so many different emotions that come into play when we talk about intimacy in marriage and how how people act and react with each other. And so much of it comes based on the paradigm of what you were taught at home, or, unfortunately, in many cases, what you were not taught at home.
Well, and a lot of it, too, comes from, you know, a lot of people come into marriage, even if they are Christians, having had sexual experiences, some of those tragic and traumatic, whether it be abuse or things like that, or some of them have experienced sexual intimacy with many other partners, and so they come into marriage with a lot of tapes playing in their head about what sex is or what it isn't, and or they grew up with a very strict don't do it, don't do it, don't do it, and then now they're in the marriage and they're trying to figure out, well, how do I turn those tapes into, this is a blessing, this is something to be nurtured, this is something to pursue and to enjoy for both a husband and wife. And so, the tapes that play in our head or that we bring into the marriage can really have a powerful effect for years sometimes until people start having healthy dialogue about intimacy.
And, you know, it's interesting because one of my listeners just texted me and she made a comment that I think is so true. Some women think or believe that men know what to do.
Oh, that's a huge misconception.
Oh, yeah.
Not to the fault of men, because why would we assume that a man would understand how a woman's body responds sexually any more than a woman would really understand what turns on a man? You know, there's a lot going on there, and to operate from a place of assumption just really can leave both a husband and a wife feeling very confused, dissatisfied, embarrassed, all of that.
Right, and we've talked about that before, and what goes beyond that, and one of the biggest challenges that many people have is just being able to open up to your spouse and say, could we try this?
Mm-hmm.
Or could we try that? Or I heard about this and I'd like to give it a try. So many people are ill at ease, even with their own partner, to be able to say that and to be able to want to step into uncharted territory, if you will.
Definitely. That's very true. Very true.
So let's not make any assumptions. Let's talk to each other. Let's open the dialogue. And I know that that's easier said than done for many people. But
well, the one thing I would add is that what can really help is that if both a husband and wife approach really anything in their marriage, but intimacy is what we're talking about, with a healthy attitude of humility and being teachable, so that we don't operate from a place of defensiveness. So if a wife is trying to help her husband understand what she needs for arousal, that he would have a humble heart and be teachable and not be defensive about that. And same way, if a husband is trying to help his wife understand, you know, I like it when you touch me this way, or I like it when you do this, or this really does it for me, or whatever, that she would not have a heart of defensiveness, but have a heart of humility and being teachable, and that together they can find out what really is healthy intimacy for them in the exclusivity of their marriage, in the safety of that safe, exclusive relationship of just the two of them.
And I think that is so critically important. So oftentimes, that's what happens. If a woman says something to a man, the man feels as though the woman's being critical, and vice versa. And yeah. It can never be that way. If you're going to have that relaxed, open dialogue, it has to be in a place where I'm not critical of what you have or have not done in the past. I just want you to know and understand that I think that this might be something that we might want to experiment with. All of these things are critically important, but you have to be able to talk about them. Stay with us. You're listening to Power Hour Radio with your host, Dr. Joanne Conaway. I'm visiting this morning with Julie Seibert, and we're talking about intimacy and marriage. We'll be back in just a moment. Welcome back. This is Power Hour Radio with your host, Dr. Joanne Conaway. I'm visiting this morning with Julie Seibert, Christian sex blogger, author, public speaker, and we're talking about intimacy in marriage. And we will be talking about things that are not appropriate for young people. So if you have any kids around, you may want to make sure that they are not listening to this program. So, Julie, I'm going to go back to you. And one of the things that we're going to talk about today is oral sex. And I know that sometimes when you say to a person oral sex, it's like, they recoil from that. I mean, it's like, oh my gosh. When I go out and I read your articles on anything on your website, I am always so impressed with the way you put the information out there, but especially when it comes to oral sex, because sometimes that's a challenging conversation to have with someone. You know, I coach a lot of people with respect to their nutritional needs and their overall health needs, but oftentimes we will get into this discussion, and sometimes that dialogue is challenging, not from my perspective so much as from the person that I'm working with. They find it very hard to put into words what they're trying to say, and it all gets back to, you know, the things that we've talked about, the way they were raised and the information that has developed their way of thinking. And so I think that it would be good to have an open dialogue about this today and just kind of put people's minds at ease and help them understand it from, again, a more biblical perspective.
Yeah, absolutely. You're exactly right that it's often a very difficult topic, and also that just to shed light on and recognize that all Christians are not going to agree on if oral sex is appropriate within a marriage. So I'm very at peace at recognizing that this is not an area where everyone agrees. But then to further the dialogue, what I like to say is a couple things as to why sometimes people think it's not appropriate. Sometimes the lens people are looking through is that they associate that with promiscuity or the porn culture outside of the bounds of marriage. So they think, well, if it's something that is associated or experienced outside in a promiscuous place, then it automatically is not appropriate for a marriage. So then I try to help them unpack that a little and say, well, first of all, if we can argue that it's okay to kiss our spouse's neck or kiss their hand, you know, God has not drawn some arbitrary line on a body for a husband and wife to say, yes, you can touch and kiss and caress here, but you can't these other areas. So right from the get-go, we have to just from a logical sense say we have a lot of freedom in the marriage bed as to where and how much we can touch our spouse. So I try to get people to think in that regard. And then also many people interpret Song of Songs as representing a very powerful, romantic, passionate experience between a husband and wife. So the book of Song of Songs in the Old Testament, but it is told in metaphor and allegory. So God doesn't come right out and say, you know, that oral sex was happening, but we get these beautiful images, these powerful images that indeed allude to sexual intimacy. You know, Song of Songs 2:3 talks about how his fruit was sweet to her taste. Song of Songs 4:16 talks about how she invites him to come into her garden and eat its choice fruits. So we get these powerful images. But even if people don't want to agree on the interpretation, that I still come back to, we don't have arbitrary lines on our body. I mean, I don't think most people would think it's wrong for a husband to kiss his wife's neck or to kiss her breast. So I kind of apply that logic. The other thing I say is within the exclusivity of marriage, a couple needs to decide what's right for them. I do recognize that if there was abuse in one of their past or both of their past, and if oral sex was part of that abuse, then for that couple, that might be too strong of a trigger. So I do have a humble, sensitive heart that for some people, it might be not drawing them close together. It may be triggering a lot of stuff that was hurtful and painful in the past. But for many couples, I think that it's perfectly fine that oral sex is honored in the marriage bed, and that if a couple can agree on that, I think it can add a lot to their sexual pleasure and their sexual intimacy.
Well, and for some women, I know this to be true, they get more pleasure from oral sex than the typical missionary style of intercourse. And go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, I definitely think that oral sex in a marriage should be, what should we say, an equal opportunity experience, meaning I don't think it's healthy whereby the expectation is that she is just going to perform oral sex on the husband. I think there should be a mutuality there, and that they should both be willing to grow. And sometimes, sadly, what I hear is, you know, women are like, well, I'll do it for him, but I don't want him to do it to me, even though he maybe really wants to, or vice versa. You know, the husband may say, well, I want her to perform oral sex on me, but I'm not going to perform it on her. And I just think that comes from a place of, you know, unhealthy selfishness. You know, I think we instead need to have a sense of mutuality that we want our spouse to experience enjoyable sexual pleasure. And that doesn't, I mean, sometimes I think oral sex is great as part of foreplay. Sometimes I think it's great as far as the whole act itself. I just think it lends itself well. The other thing that I think a lot of couples struggle with is they're worried about the cleanliness issue. And I always just say, well, come to bed clean. You know, shower first together or individually. If we come to bed clean with our whole bodies having been washed, it really lowers the inhibitions and maybe some of the fears or hesitations if we're both coming to bed clean. So that I think can help.
Oh, I think so too. And, you know, again, looking at it from a biblical perspective, I think it's very helpful and beneficial for many people. It's not bad. It's not dirty. It's not something that we should turn away from. And I think the more people can accept and understand that, the healthier their relationships are going to be. Stay with us. This is Power Hour Radio with your host, Dr. Joanne Conaway, visiting this morning with Julie Seibert and talking about intimacy and marriage. We'll be back in a few minutes after news and messages. Welcome back. This is Power Hour Radio with your host, Dr. Joanne Conaway. And always remember, any comment I make or any comments made on the part of my guests as they pertain to health and wellness are for entertainment and educational purposes only. They are not to be construed as medical diagnosis or treatment. We never attempt to diagnose, treat, prevent, or cure any disease on the show. We share with you information that you may find helpful. We ask you to do your due diligence and then give the team a call. They can be reached at 800-405-1607. Again, 800-405-1607. So I'm going to go back to Julie. And Julie, we have a caller, so I'm going to open the lines and go to the caller. Welcome to the show. Did you have a question for Julie?
Hi. Yes. Are you talking to me?
Yes, I am.
Oh, okay. Yeah, thank you very much. And Dr. Conway, I'm sorry to hear you're going to be leaving.
Thank you.
I guess this question is for both of you. I became aware of this STD thing. Well, I knew about STD, but about this particular STD about 3 years ago when two friends came down with esophageal cancer. One was a young man in his early 40s. He didn't die. And the other one is about 75 when this happened to him. Both of them promiscuous in their sexual lives. And they both came down with this esophageal cancer. One had it also of his tongue, quite bad. They both did the chemo thing. The doctors told both of them this was caused by oral sex and that women basically didn't get it, but women gave it to men. And I wondered if you'd comment on that, what you know about it.
Do you want to take that, Dr. Conway, or you want me to?
Well, I'm going to let you start, and then I'm going to put in my two cents.
Well, the first thing I would say is, obviously, if a husband and wife have any have had a sexual past before they come into the marriage, I think it's just good wisdom to have tests done for sexually transmitted diseases. So, obviously, if there are sexually transmitted diseases present, then, yeah, that definitely affects whether a couple, if it would be wise for them to engage in oral sex. But I also think we just need to use good wisdom, too, on what's right for our marriage, meaning if a couple is really concerned about that, then definitely they have to weigh that concern. I guess that's what I would say, but I think for many couples, that's not a concern. The inhibitions are more coming from a place of, is this biblically okay, that sort of thing. So, Dr. Conway, did you want to add anything?
Well, what I would say to that is there are a couple of different ways I would approach this. First of all, I am not going to dispute the fact that the doctor said that this was caused by oral sex. I am not going to dispute that fact. But to your point, Julie, if people have had a past where they have engaged with multiple partners and perhaps there is some concern, then yes, I believe that they should get checked out. The other thing, though, that I would say to this, and I say this wholeheartedly, most people in the intimacy of marriage who have oral sex, when you consider the numbers of people who have oral sex and relate that to the numbers of people who ultimately end up with some type of an esophageal cancer, the numbers of people who have oral sex are astronomical. And so from my perspective, I'm not, again, disputing that the doctor may or may not be right with respect to this is the reason why these people had this situation. It could very well be. But again, get tested if you have cause or reason to believe that it might be a concern. And if you are someone who has no reason to believe that it would be a concern, then I'm not someone to say that you shouldn't have oral sex because you may get esophageal cancer.
Yeah, I mean, I think we're on the same page about that for sure.
Yeah, that's my premise also. I would think that, but these were two separate doctors, and when I started investigating, that seemed to be a consensus out there. But who knows? I just thought that I'd bring that up. It pays to follow God's laws.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Bye.
Thank you for the call. And Julie, I think about it, and, there are certain diseases that people have that are diseases because of the way they slept with multiple partners or, You know, and those diseases can be passed one to another very easily. We know that and we accept that. And I think that, you know, so much of it, when you and I talk, we're talking about intimacy and marriage. And those are the situations that may have happened before or may have come before, in which case, once again, testing might be appropriate. But for people who have not lived that type of a lifestyle, I don't think that that should be a concern.
Yeah, I would agree completely. I mean, a couple has to decide what's right for them, but I think there's countless couples out there where that risk factor is not there. But certainly people need to, as you've said in your throughout your program, you know, they need to consult their doctor if they have concerns about that. Certainly seek out professional insight.
Absolutely. So let's go on with a little bit more of the discussion of oral sex. You know, a lot of people who are hearing this are, again, concerned. They're concerned because they've never heard it said this way before. They've never related it to biblical principles and never thought about Song of Songs relating to oral sex. And yet in one of your articles on your website, you point out very clearly that there are several different passages in Song of Songs that would lead one to believe that this is exactly what is being talked about. And, you know, when I look at the Bible, I look at the Bible as kind of being our go-to to help us with many situations. And as with most things, I firmly believe that God didn't miss anything.
Yeah, I could not agree with you more. That's a perfect way to say it, Dr. Conaway. And the other thing, you know, when people, and I'm kind of circling back a little bit, but it's interesting to me that people tend to not have problems with, they think, you know, we look at the verse in Proverbs where, you know, we see the verse, enjoy the breasts of, you know, the wife of your youth. So we get this very, that's not metaphorical or allegory or anything. You know, basically it's saying to the young husband, you know, enjoy your wife's breast. You know, there's no mincing words, right?
Right.
So why would we think that God would clearly say that's fine and would not also give us the freedom within the exclusivity of marriage to kiss and caress other parts of our spouse's body? I mean, anybody who has had sex, enjoyable sex, knows that it is so, there's so much more going on there than just simply a penis in a vagina. You know,
right.
There's a lot of arousal throughout our body in different areas. And when a couple, a married couple communicates well on what they find arousing, it usually takes their sexual intimacy to kind of a profound level where it's not just a physical connection going on. There's really just such a deep oneness and a spiritual connection when they feel like they have the freedom within the exclusivity of their marriage to genuinely enjoy their sexual intimacy. So, you know, I always say, yeah, go back to the source, go back to God's word. And I think he's a generous God, you know. I just think he is. And he meant sex to bless a married couple and to be a place of endearing oneness for them. And he meant for them to both enjoy it, too. That's the other thing. You know, sex is not just for the husband. We get multiple scriptures that show us it is indeed for the wife as well and that it wasn't an afterthought that God said, oh, sure, I'll put in her pleasure. No, that was part of his intentional design. So the more a couple can grow in their communication, I think they realize and recognize how much freedom they really have in that exclusivity.
And I couldn't agree with that more. I don't think God makes mistakes. I don't think he ever has made a mistake. So from that perspective, I agree with you 100%. But the thing that I find interesting based on what you just said is when I work with people and I encourage them to get out to your website and I encourage them to open dialogue and I encourage them to have the ability to be able to sit down and talk and share and open up with their spouse, I love the reports that come back to me. Mm-hmm. I mean, these are sometimes people who have been married for many years. They have children, and now they're experiencing each other in a totally different way, and it has added so much to their marriage. And I think probably for me, Julie, the way I look at it is it adds depth to what otherwise may have been a very superficial relationship.
Yeah, and the other thing I would say, I think when we're talking about oral sex, is a stumbling block, particularly for wives, sometimes for husbands, is some wives are hesitant to do it because they're like afraid, I don't know how to do it. You know, I don't know how to give good oral sex. I don't know what I'm doing. And, you know, I always say that this is where that communication of being coachable comes in, because certainly a husband knows what feels good. So as she is performing oral sex or trying, you know, different techniques and stuff like that, you know, he's able to give feedback of what he enjoys in the same way the wife can do that as well. So I think there's just a trend that we can't let our, like, inexperience or not knowing how to do something to just completely shut the door on something. These are skills that can be learned. So
right,
we have to help each. We have to help each other learn in the safety of that exclusivity. And then the other thing I always say, that Christian wives sometimes get hung up on, like, oh my gosh, my friends knew what I was doing in bed, or, and it's like, well, your friends don't know what you're doing in bed.
That is none of their business.
That's a safe, exclusive place for you and your husband.
That's right. So, stay with us, Julie. We have to take one of those breaks. When we come back, we'll continue this discussion. This is Power Hour Radio with your host, Dr. Joanne Conaway, visiting with Julie Seibert. We'll be right back. Welcome back. You're listening to Power Hour Radio with your host, Dr. Joanne Conaway, visiting this morning with Julie Seibert. And, you know, Julie, going into the break, we were talking about a couple of things that have kind of stimulated thoughts in my mind. You know, first of all, one of the things that you mentioned just going into the break was wondering what your friends would think. Well, you know, it's really interesting, because it's acceptable to have friends that you might discuss these things with. But for the most part, my sex life is my sex life. I don't talk to other people about what I do. And I don't, you know, I personally don't feel it's anyone else's business. I know that there are a lot of people who live with that cloud over them, if you will. What would other people think? What would the other people say? What business is it of theirs, in my opinion,
well,
to
and
think
sometimes
or say anything?
You're right. Even if they wouldn't ever talk, what it is they're struggling with, again, I think this is an issue more for Christian wives than it is necessarily for husbands, but, you know, a wife maybe is thinking that being sexually uninhibited with her husband and thoroughly enjoying sex, including different positions, different techniques, within the exclusivity of their marriage, she may think that that sexual uninhibitedness doesn't align with being a good Christian girl.
And right, right.
What I say is, it's in a way the opposite. You know, meaning when we have a healthy view of sexual intimacy in marriage, when we view it as something that both a husband and a wife are to pursue with their spouse, when we see that God does indeed care about not only a husband's pleasure, but he indeed cares about a woman's pleasure as well. He gave both the ability to orgasm and to enjoy sex and to be turned on and to be aroused. So when we start to grasp God's lens about sexual intimacy in marriage, we do see that, for lack of a better way of saying it, being a good Christian biblical wife really aligns with sexual uninhibitedness in the marriage bed. And that's a paradigm shift for a lot of women in particular who have grown up with this idea that sex is for the husband, or I can't try new things in the bedroom because that wouldn't be Christian, that sort of thing. So it's a new paradigm to embrace that really sexual uninhibitedness and freedom in the marriage bed is a very godly thing.
Right, right. And, you know, one of the other things that we were talking about, and I think I personally believe that this is so important, and when I work with people and counsel people, I talk to them about this, but we have talked about letting your husband know what feels good. And it's, you know, it's difficult, I would imagine, for most men. I know that I have in my own relationship thought sometimes, I wonder how this must feel to him. Mm-hmm. And thinking about the things that I would be doing and how it must feel to him and how it would be interesting to know, but that's something I would never be able to experience because I'm the female, he's the male. Mm-hmm. By the same token, sharing with your husband, I mean, unless they are really interested in biology, most men don't have a real clear understanding of what is easily stimulated or readily stimulated, what might make you feel aroused versus what might not make you feel aroused. I mean, the clitoris is one thing, for example, that I think men don't understand perhaps as well as they could. And if they did...
Well, even women don't understand it often as well as they could. Yeah, you're right.
That is very true.
I would add too that the other challenge a little bit for a man, and this comes back to why we need the good communication and the good teachability, is that as women we know that throughout the month, like what turns us on at different times in our cycle may be different, right? So
Right. There's
times when your breasts are more sensitive. So that would be a time maybe you wouldn't want as much firm touch. Well, you have to help your husband understand that. You know, to think that he intuitively or just through assumption can understand where you're at in your cycle or what you find arousing one night, maybe three nights later, is painful.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not fair to think he intuitively is going to know that. And the message I would say to husbands is invite her feedback. You know, be teachable. Ask her what feels good. And same with wives to husbands.
Right. Stay with us, Julie. We'll be back in just a moment after messages. This is Power Hour Radio with your host, Dr. Joanne Conaway, visiting with Julie Seibert. We'll be right back.
I'll be taken care of if anything were to happen to you. If you answered yes, you probably need life insurance. Now, do you think life insurance is expensive? If you answered yes to that too, you definitely need to give AIG Direct a call. We could find you a $250,000 policy for just $14 a month, which means you could save hundreds of dollars a year. Call us now for a free, no-obligation quote. 1-800-919-5435. Since 1995, we've helped millions of people find out if they could save up to 70% on their term life insurance. See how affordably we can help you protect your family. Call AIG Direct now for your free quote. 1-800-919-5435. You could save up to 70%. That's 1-800-919-5435. 1-800-919-5435.
This is Power Hour Radio with your host, Dr. Joanne Conaway, visiting this morning with Julie Seibert and talking about intimacy in marriage. And, you know, Julie, I think one of the biggest takeaways when you and I talk is people really need to understand the importance of open dialogue.
Oh, absolutely. Yes, yes, for sure.
It's so easy to talk about these things or think about these things and then hold it all inside and not say anything to the person it really counts with. And I find this so oftentimes, and, you know, I'll say to some of the women that I work with, some of the men too, I'll say, have you spoken to your wife about this? Have you talked with your husband about this? And so oftentimes it's like such a difficult thing for them, and that's one of the reasons why I've so enjoyed getting to know you and getting to know your website, because when it's a challenge for them to be able to have that discussion. I will oftentimes refer them to some of the articles on your page, and so oftentimes what I get back in response is, again, you put it in such good terms, you put it in such relaxing terms, you put it in such acceptable terms when you write, and people get a lot from this. They gain a lot from this in as much as they are able to then say, you know, I was reading this article and I'd like to talk with you about something.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes
that can be a really good jumping off point, you know, mm-hmm. that you... And then the other thing I always say about the awkwardness and the embarrassment, whether we're talking to our spouse about sexual issues, or I say the same thing when you're trying to have age-appropriate conversations with your kids as they're being raised and you're trying to talk about sexuality and sexual issues, age-appropriate, of course, is call the awkwardness out. Just shine light on it. Say, you know, this is kind of embarrassing for me to talk about, or I don't really know how to bring this up, but I just think it would be healthy for our marriage if we could, you know, talk about our sexual intimacy or things where we could grow in it. So, I always say shed light on it, like call it out, and then that puts both of you a little more at ease because maybe the other person is feeling embarrassed. And so they're struggling with that. So when we acknowledge that it can be a difficult topic because we don't get good practice talking about sex.
Right. Right.
Many programs out there teach us how to talk about finances, about parenting, about communication, about managing anger in our relationship, all those things. But we don't get a lot of practice specifically on how do we talk to each other as a husband and a wife about our sexual intimacy, about what's working and what isn't working, about healing we need in certain areas that maybe we've never thought. So, the more we can just call the awkwardness out, the better it facilitates the conversation.
Radio with your host, Dr. Joanne Conaway, visiting this morning with Julie Seibert. And I want to remind you, her webpage is intimacyinmarriage.com. Again, intimacyinmarriage.com. Okay, I had to interrupt you going into the break, Julie, so I'm going to go back to you.
And now I'm trying to remember where we were at.
Well, where we were, I think, you know, one of the important things that I think people need to understand is... And I know you talk about this all the time, but sex is not just intercourse.
Oh, that's what we were talking about, that a woman, we were talking about if he has difficulty maintaining an erection. So we were talking mm-hmm. about orgasm. And, yeah, so, you know, if a couple has a paradigm that the only way for them to have sex is missionary position or he has to wait till she climaxes and then he can climax. You know, if we put a lot of these arbitrary boundaries around what healthy intimacy looks like, that can actually add to the stress. You know, he can feel just an enormous amount of stress of like, oh my gosh, I can't climax. But what I say is there's lots of ways, you know, other ways for them to both enjoy climax, and it may not be just through intercourse. You know, it may be that through, we've talked a lot about oral stimulation, hand stimulation. It may be that he climaxes first and then he helps her climax either with his own hands or his mouth or whatever. I mean, there's many ways that we can both experience orgasmic pleasure within the exclusivity of our marriage bed. So that's what I would say is a couple needs to grow again in their communication. There are techniques he can try to learn to kind of keep his climax at bay. but he's not going to be able to keep it at bay indefinitely. And if they're thinking she can only have an orgasm through through intercourse, that might be quite a stumbling block for them.
That's so true. I can remember when I was pregnant and I was getting close to the end of my pregnancy, I started to have some issues. And, you know, my doctor suggested that intercourse not be the way we have sexual intimacy. And so, you know, I came home and I talked with my husband about it. And, you know, my doctor was, he's very blunt. He would say, there are other ways to reach orgasm. And so my husband and I started to entertain some of those other things that we could do and other ways that we could attain orgasm. And at that particular point in time, learned a lot. And
yeah.
Thank goodness we did. I mean, it was when we were relatively young in our marriage. And so we were able to learn those things then. And we did. And, you know, since then, we've had a lot of fun. So.
Yeah, and you're exactly right. Like, pregnancy would be one example, but, you know, there's other times. And then I think you're right that when a couple discovers, oh, there's other things we could try, it really kind of opens up a new closeness between them, whereby they enjoy their intimacy even more, which I think is powerful to the relationship. You and I have talked about this, that's what's happening sexually with a couple, when that's healthy and nurtured and they both enjoy it, that lends itself well to the rest of the relationship. Sex is good glue, so to speak, that helps us do life together. So definitely, I think when both a husband and a wife are enjoying their intimacy, it's just good for their marriage. It genuinely is.
Well, it's good for the marriage, and it also helps with dealing with the other things that happen in your life. You know, oftentimes the challenges that come along can be really frustrating, but if you've had this as an outlet, and if this area in your life is fulfilling and relaxing and enjoyable, it kind of makes the other things a lot more easy to do.
Oh, without a doubt, yeah. I always say that I'm a better parent, a better neighbor, a better volunteer, all of that because of good, healthy intimacy in my marriage, without a doubt. It spills over, so to speak.
Sure, you don't have those frustrations that we're all left with when that intimacy isn't what you would wish it to be or what you think it should be or what you want it to be.
Well, and I've often said, too, I and my husband would probably say the same thing, that good sexual intimacy softens us to each other. It helps us extend grace better. It's a stress reliever. It's an endearing thing that happens. That's why I think it's more than just a physical thing going on there. It's an emotional thing, a spiritual thing. There's just a lot going on. And the easiest way I say it is, you know, I like my husband better after we make love. You know, we're just gentler with each other. We're softer with each other. We're more relaxed. It's just good for our marriage. So it grieves me when I hear about marriages that have gone sometimes years without nurtured sexual intimacy. And I think how difficult and what the toll it has taken on those couples to not have that gift that God has wanted them to enjoy.
Right, right. And, you know, I agree with you 100%. There's no time I feel closer to my husband than after we've had mm-hmm. our sexual intimacy. There's just a closeness. There's a glue. It's hard to explain if you've never experienced it. If you have experienced it, you know exactly what I'm talking about.
I would say to couples who are listening to this and are thinking, well, we've never had that. I don't know if we ever could have that. You know, I would just say, you know, have the difficult conversations. If there's areas where you need to get healing, whether it's for past abuse or something that has taken a toll now on the intimacy in your marriage, then be proactive, be intentional, get good counsel and good healing, dig into God's word, pick up a Christian sex book, you know, and read it together. study that I was just at a conference up in Minneapolis by Julie Slattery, and she wrote this tremendous book called Rethinking Sexuality. The great book out there called Awaken Love. You know, it's just there's resources where as a couple you can grow in God's viewpoint of sexual intimacy in marriage.
And I think those are both good recommendations. Will you repeat the titles of those books one more time, please?
Rethinking Sexuality by Dr. Julie Slattery. Love the book. And then Awaken Love by Ruth Uzas, I think is how it's pronounced. Awaken Love, yeah.
Julie, I hear that music in the background signaling the end of another Power Hour radio show. Thank you so much for taking your time to be with us this morning. And thank you so much for all the wonderful information that you share.
Yeah, and I encourage listeners, go to intimacyandmarriage.com and learn.
Absolutely. Thank you again, and have a great rest of the day.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much, listeners, for being with us. We'll be back again tomorrow. Have a great rest of the day. So long for now.